Last week, Pastor Ed shared a prophecy that was given here in 2003. It was given to the founding pastors. But how many of you know when words are spoken, they're eternal? They don't see. Visionaries may die, visions don't. Words spoken to a ministry, they don't die. They keep working until they fulfill the purpose for which they were spoken. And these were some of the words that were spoken. It was a minister's conference was taking place. That this first gathering of the eagles, this gathering of the leaders, is the seal I have ordained for this facility. Upon this precedent shall you continue to establish this facility, because I gave this place to you. I will not have it become common. This is sacred, holy, and ordained grounds, and you have consecrated tonight because my leaders became subject to my will. He said, this is sacred, holy, and ordained ground. We're going to talk about sacred, holy, and ordained. We're probably just going to get to holy today. So you'll have to come back next time I'm here. Everybody doesn't say, yeah, right. Look at Romans 12, 2. Well, we'll read 1 and 2. I'll read it in the Passion Translation. Beloved friends, what should be our proper response to God's marvelous mercies? I encourage you to surrender yourselves to God, to be his sacred living sacrifice, and live in holiness. Everyone say, live in holiness. Experiencing all that delights his heart, for this becomes your genuine expression of worship. God said this ground is holy. His word tells us to live in holiness. Why? Because holy is an adjective. It describes the condition of a noun. We are his holy people. We're not just his people. In Genesis 1:26, the Bible says, God said, let us make man in our image and after our likeness, and let him have dominion over everything. Paraphrase. And then it goes on to say, and God, he did it. He made man in his image, in the image of God created he them, male and female created he them. So we were made in God's image and after his likeness. God is holy. He made us after his image and likeness, so what does that mean about us? So if he's giving us a holy place, if he's giving us holy ground, what should walk upon holy ground? Holy people. That's why he said to Moses, when Moses saw the bush burning, he said, let me turn aside and see this great thing. God said, take your shoes off. The ground on which you're standing is holy. Some of us are more concerned about our carpets at our home than we are about how we're living. Because we'll go to places, take your shoes off. Don't want that outside dirt coming in here. Okay, you're on holy ground. We don't want that outside stuff coming here. It's just that simple. Romans 12:2 says, stop imitating the ideals and opinions of the culture around you, but be inwardly transformed by the Holy Spirit through a total reformation of how you think. Now, mind you, Paul is speaking not to a group of people. He's speaking to the church in Rome. He's speaking to the church, which is filled with church folks. And if he's telling them this, obviously it was evident they weren't living right. He said, you're in this holy place. You need to be acting holy. And really, that holiness shouldn't be an act. because it's who we are. And he said something else. He said, I gave this place to you, and I will not allow it to become common. Well, what does that mean? When something's common, it belongs to everybody. Let me say it a different way. It belongs to anybody. Anybody. If you're common, there are no boundaries. You're open to anything, at any time, by anybody. Why? Because you're common. God said, I will not have this place become common. Now, that's encouraging and a little frightening. Because it means if you're conducting yourself in a manner that's common and won't change it, God's going to step in and make sure that this place doesn't become common. And guess who's exempt from it? Nobody. Nobody. And we have to start thinking about those things. This is much bigger than any one of us, any two of us, even all of us. This is much bigger than that. God has a plan to reach the people in this state. And so he's planting places like this in key positions and training up people. That's why some people come, I hope you're not one of them, but some come and they get uncomfortable because they don't sense the quote unquote normal church vibe. They come here and you get taught, this is what the word says, this is what it means, this is how you do it. And we don't pull any punches. We say, this is the way it is. What's that saying? We call a spade a spade. We don't call a spade a diamond. It's a spade. Draw four is draw four. So just start picking up. Oop, there's another one you just picked up. Okay. Whatever it is, it is. But God expects, since he doesn't want this place to become common, that means he wants this place to stay uncommon. Because he wants to fill it with uncommon people. Why? Because it's going to draw more uncommon people who want to know it's okay that I'm uncommon. It's okay that I love Jesus. It's okay that I can act like it wherever I go. I went to a movie called The Way. I don't know why I'm not remembering the woman's name who I even looked it up so I could tell you who. What her name was, Kathy Lee Gifford. She produced it. And it wasn't really a movie as such. She was telling the story, the Bible stories, and backing them up with music videos. It was nice. It wasn't what I expected, but it was nice. Towards the end of the movie, now we're in a movie theater. Toward the end of the movie, the Holy Ghost said to me, there's some people here that were stirred up by what they just saw. And I'm like, yeah, I could see that. I'm stirred up by it. He said, but they don't know what to do. And I got quiet because I'm saying, he's about to tell me something. And I was like, yes. Give an altar call. In the movie theater, in front of these people who don't know me, who they don't know I'm not a flake, not a kook, not a nut. Even sometimes I feel like a nut. Well, I like Peter Paul Almond Joyce. But now, my first thought being honest with you, my first thought was not praise the Lord, hallelujah, people are going to get set free. My Lord, how is it going to look with me getting up and start speaking in front of these people? And music is playing on the screen. He said, well, wait till the music stops. I said, the people will be gone. He said, the ones that stay are the ones that are hungry, and they're the ones I'm talking to. What do you say when Father talks to you like that? Yes, Dad. So I did. People applauded. They got saved. Somebody gave me one of the little Jesus fish. You know, one lady said, I'm amazed. My husband doesn't stay and listen to anything. And he started walking out, but when I started speaking, he stopped. And listened, nodded his head. People left the theater, folks not knowing each other. Good night, my brother. Good night, my sister. Maybe we'll meet again in heaven. That was uncommon. If any man be in Christ, he's uncommon. The Bible says a new creature. So if you're a new creature, you're uncommon. But he said this is a sacred, holy place. The grounds have been ordained. And he consecrated that. But again, God said to Moses, take off your sandals. The place where you're standing is holy. We have to start understanding the places that we stand in is holy. It's just holy. I looked up the word holy because I want to see what it meant. It talked about a place, talked about being most holy. I said, this is something. How do you define a word with a word? What does holy mean, most holy? That helps. But I'll give you a New Testament. That's an Old Testament definition, but I'll give you a New Testament definition in a minute. But what you need to know is wherever God is holy. Because I read a definition that said the realm of God. When you come into the realm of God, you're standing on holy ground. Wherever he is holy. And I said, Lord, that can cause a problem. He said, how so? Well, if you're always with me, since you're always with me, your presence is always with me. And if your presence is always in a holy place, then I'm always in a holy place. Am I supposed to walk around barefoot? And he said, yes, but not barefoot in terms of taking off your shoes, barefoot in terms of taking off anything that's not holy. See, one of the things that we do, and I'm saying we because I don't want you to think I'm talking about you, I'm talking about all of us, myself included, we will come up with good rationalization as to why it's okay to do something that we know it's not okay. But when you want to do something, you'll come up with reasons. Sometimes we'll try and be holy. We'll say, well, God said, if I confess my sins, he'll be faithful and just to forgive me and to cleanse me from all unrighteousness so I can do it again. He didn't say that so I could do it again part. He did say if you continue to sin after you have the knowledge of the truth, there's no longer a sacrifice for your sins. He did say that. But if we're living holy, we don't have to concern ourselves with that. But I remember when I was the youth director, and there was a conversation that I had with a discussion bordering on even a spirited discussion. It was when hip-hop first came out, and somebody I forget who did the song Jesus Walks? Kanye, right. And the children wanted to play it. It's a Christian song. I had never heard of it, so I looked up the lyrics. And I'm like, not with profanity in it. It's not a Christian song. And they had a fit. Their parents, which surprised me, most of the parents had a fit. It's a Christian song. So they wanted to have a meeting to talk about it. So, okay. Scheduled the meeting. Like, okay, Lord, what do I tell them? I came across this analogy. This is over 25 years ago I saw this. This is a put on your glasses one. A father of some teenage, this is a true story. Father of some teenage children had the family rule that they could not attend PG-13 or R-rated movies. His three teens wanted to see a particular movie, a particular popular movie that was playing at the local theaters. It was rated PG-13. The teens interviewed friends and even some members of their church, of their family's church, to find out what was offensive in the movie. The teens made a list of pros and cons about the movie to use to convince their dad that they should be allowed to see it. That wouldn't have worked with me. I was like, no means no. The cons were that it only contained three curse words. The only violence was a building exploding, and you see that on TV all the time. And you actually did not see the couple in the movie having sex. It was just implied sex off camera. The pros were that it was a popular movie, a blockbuster. Everyone was seeing it. If the teens saw the movie, then they would not feel left out when their friends discussed it. The movie contained a good story and plot. It had some great adventure and suspense in it. There were some fantastic special effects in this movie. The movie stars were some of the most talented actors in Hollywood. It probably would be nominated for several awards. Many of the members of their church had even seen the movie and said, it wasn't very bad. It wasn't very bad. It was bad. I don't know what the difference is between bad and very bad. Maybe you can help me on that. Therefore, since there were more pros than cons, the teen said they were asking their father to reconsider his position on just this one movie and let them have permission to go see it. The father looked at the list and thought for a few minutes. He said he could tell his children had spent some time and thought on this request, and he asked if he could have a day to think about it before making his decision. The teens were thrilled. Because he had to stop and think about it, they thought, we got him now. Our argument is too good. Dad can't turn us down. So they happily agreed to let him have a day to think about their request. The next evening, the father called his three teenagers who were smiling smugly into the living room. They're like, yes, here goes. We got him. There on a coffee table, he had a plate of brownies. The teens were puzzled. The father told the children he thought about their request and had decided that if they would eat a brownie, then he would let them go to the movies, go see the movie. But just like the movie, the brownie had pros and cons. The pros were they were made with the finest chocolate and other good ingredients. They had the added special effect of yummy walnuts in them. Bothers me to say yummy walnut. I don't look at things as yummy. The brownies were moist and fresh with wonderful chocolate frosting on top. He had made these fantastic brownies using an award-winning recipe. And best of all, The brownies had been made lovingly by the hand of their own father. Gordon, you can say, The brownies only had one con. He had included a bit of a special ingredient. The brownies also contained just a little bit of dog poop. But, nope. He had mixed the dough well. They probably wouldn't even be able to taste the dog poop. And he baked it at 350 degrees, so any bacteria or germs from the dog poop had probably been destroyed. And lastly, the poop came from purebred dogs of the highest pedigree. Therefore, if any of his children could stand to eat the brownies, which included just a little bit of crap, and not be affected by it, then he knew they would also be able to see the movie with just a little bit of smut and not be affected. Of course, none of the teens would eat the brownies. Only Dad was smiling smugly when they left the room. And whenever his children asked permission to do something different than what they were ordained to do, he just said, "Do you want me to whip up a special batch of brownies?" Folks, some of the choices we make is like eating dog poop brownies. And it's affecting our holiness. It's affecting our holiness. That could be why it seems that our prayers are taking forever to be answered. Because it says in 1 Peter, in 1 Timothy 2:6, Amplified Bible says, "I desire therefore that in every place men should pray without anger or quarreling or resentment or doubt in their minds, lifting up holy hands." Lifting up what kind of hands? What kind? Holy hands. Hands undefiled by sin. Hands that are pure, holy. Because holiness is an action based on a choice. And that choice is based on what you've placed in your heart. And there's some things that you allow to be placed in your heart that just feel good. Feel so natural. But when we think about it, they're dog poop brownies. That was going to be the title of this message, but I said, no, I'm not putting that as a title. The Message Bible says, "Since prayer is at the bottom of all this, what I want mostly is for men to pray, not shaking angry fists at enemies, but raising holy hands to God. And I want women to get in there with the men in humility before God, not primping before the mirror or chasing the latest fashions, but doing something beautiful for God and becoming beautiful while doing it." So holiness changes your outward appearance. All that hardness of that stress goes away. It's like someone took a face iron and just ironed all the wrinkles and things out of your face. And like you had a surgeon, a mason, come and take the bricks that were on your heart, just weighing it down. Everything's feeling so heavy, and it's just struggling just to get up. And your prayer's like, "Lord, how long, how long, how long?" Think about how you're living. Think about how you are living. God sent you to a holy place. He made you in his image and his likeness, and he is holy. He says, "You're holy as I'm holy." He says, "Be holy in all your conversation." That means all your behavior. Be holy. When people see you, they should see holiness. They may not call it holiness, but they're going to call it different uncommon. I heard someone say to a believer, "You sound wholesome." And you should. People should know there's something different about you. They don't have to hear you say anything. You just show up. I go in places and strangers talk to me. And I don't do everything right. I do a good number right, which means there's another number that I don't do right. But fortunately, people can still see a difference when they come and they talk to me. Town supervisor called me and he said, "I know last year you did the benediction, but we want you to kick off the 9/11 ceremony with prayer. You know, if you would do that." And I said, "I'd be honored to." This is the government. Same government that we think is anti-church, anti-Christian, anti-God, wants to make sure the 9/11 ceremony is opened properly. And they figured the only way it can be properly done is by prayer. Why? They know me, they know this ministry. They know what we're about and what we stand for. And that's what they wanted to open their ceremony. They have access to anybody. But they wanted the pastor of the community church to come and open the setting because he wants it holy. He wants it holy. He doesn't want it to start. He knows that it's not going to start off with hate and anger, and he knows that. And he wants a tone set. Well, didn't Jesus say, "Let your light so shine before men that they may see your good works and glorify your Father in heaven"? They need to see your good works. Over in Acts, when they needed help with serving food, they said, "Look from among the people 7 men of good report, known to be." He said, "Get 7 people who you know are full of the Holy Ghost and wisdom and put them over this task." So he told people, get the ones that you know their lives are living right. You know. Peter didn't say, we'll select. He said, no, you select them. Those you know. Not because you have a good time going out drinking, but you know that they're full of the Holy Ghost and wisdom. In 1 Peter, I mentioned it, but I wanted to read it. 1 Peter 1, 14 and 15, in the Amplified Bible, says, "Live as children of obedience to God. Do not conform yourselves to the evil desires that governed you in your former ignorance when you did not know the requirements of the gospel. But as the one who called you, you yourselves also be holy in all your conduct and manner of living." All your conduct, how we respond to one another, how we respond to our children, how we respond to our spouses, how we respond to our siblings, how we respond to our children. I think I said children. Well, I guess I need to say it twice. Regardless of their age. My oldest son's going to be 50 in 2 days. I still have to be mindful about how I respond to him, even though he's a grown man. I'm still dad. Well, guess what? God's still God. And we've been called, sent to a special place to receive special instructions. I was talking to Pastors Lewis, some of you don't know who they are, they were the founding pastors. They were to the founding pastors like Minister Joe and Susie are to us. Both of them had the first name. They're both Mr. Josephs. So I was talking with them, and they always had a heart to serve God by serving the pastors. And it didn't matter what they would. One of the reasons our facilities department does so many different things that don't have anything to do with facilities is because when I was the facilities manager, I would ask Mr. Joseph, is there anything I can do to make it easier for you? Because he was coming in at 3 a.m. and leaving at 7. He was processing checks. He was processing payroll. He was doing all these things. And I said, we can get an accountant to do that. We can get a payroll service to do that. I said, how do you process these checks? And he showed me what he had to do. I said, I can do that. He said, no, it's okay. And he told me he would disappear for 2 days because he's back in the finance office with stacks of stuff all over the place. Because I opened my big mouth and I wound up in my office with stacks of stuff all over the place. But why? Because I just came to serve. Just wanted to help. That's all. So if you just want to help, their requirements. Be holy. I had access to things that my supervisor didn't. Not saying my supervisor wasn't holy. But I'm telling you that so that you know no one can hold you back. If God wants to move you into something because he knows you're the person, he's going to move you. Or as long as he knows you're willing to go. So I'm using today as more as an overview of what's coming because we're going to talk about being holy. We're going to talk about being ordained. We have to talk about those things. And we're going to talk about being sacred because we need to understand those. How many of you know looking at things that the world is crazy? And they're not finished. They're not finished. Scientists can look at a bone. That bone can be determined to be 400 or 500 years old. A bone. And from that bone, they could tell the gender of the person that bone came from. So God made it clear about gender identification. If you can look at a 500-year-old bone, say this came from a male, this came from a female, then the person can know who they are. And they're not going to come from a female and decide they're going to be something other. But uncommon people have to show that. People who won't blend in. People who won't be imitating the culture around them, but who allow the Holy Ghost. Remember I said holy is an adjective? So if there is a Holy Ghost, guess what else there is? Something out there, spirit out there that's not holy. If there are holy hands, there are unholy hands. If there's holy ground, there's unholy ground. And we need to recognize the difference and stick with that which is holy. That's going to be hard. Any change requires effort. Don't believe you try and lose 10 pounds. See how that's going to take. I'm not looking at anybody saying you need to lose weight. I'm just gazing with my eyes. But it's not what something is that counts. It's what you think it is that counts. Why can I say that? Because Jesus said, you can do all things, the Bible tells us you can do all things through Christ who strengthens you. So it doesn't matter what it takes to get the desired result. You can do it if you want to. And I'm speaking to your want to. That's what, every time I speak to you, I'm speaking to your want to. Because I know you have the ability to. But you have to, we have to get to the place where we want to. Just like the other things that we do because we want to, we need to want to live a holy life. Period. You can ask me a comment. See, I have to want to live holy in order to live holy. Tell that to your neighbor. It's that simple. That's what it says in Deuteronomy 30:11 in the Amplified Bible. God said, the word I give you today is not hard to do. It's not hard. He said, it's very near to your heart, so you can do it. I add, if you want to. Because I ask God, well, if it's that easy, how come everybody doesn't do it? And he didn't tell me why everybody doesn't do it. He said, why don't you do it? I said, because I don't want to. He said, right. He said, right. So you have a choice. God said that the place where you are now is sacred, holy, and ordained ground. That means he's here. Because he's sacred, he's holy, he's ordained. We have to decide what our response is going to be to that. I'm strongly suggesting that it be holy. That's what I'm suggesting. And in the words of that great philosopher Forrest Gump, that's all I have to say about that. For right now. I have 3 minutes, but I'm not going to just fill it up just to fill it up. When God's finished, I'm finished. So he stopped talking, I stopped speaking. But you understand, everything you do in life is a choice that you make. And that choice is based on what you like or what you don't like. Everybody does that. So don't feel strange because you have those feelings. Everybody gets them. It's what are you going to do with them when they come? Because they're going to come. And they don't come like a powder puff where you just lightly... No, it grips you. And says, feed me. I have to do this, that's why I open up some more notes. And the reason I don't want to do that, because if I give you more notes, I'm starting to give you my opinion on things. And I don't like giving my opinion. Your opinion is just as good as my opinion. You didn't come here to hear my opinion. You came here to hear what thus saith the Lord. And that's all I want to give you. Lord says, be ye holy because he's holy. So I say, be ye holy because your Father in heaven is holy. Father, we thank you. We give you all glory, honor, and praise. Yes, a very simple message. But we thank you that by the Holy Ghost, you will enlighten each person as to how the message applies to them. As I ask you, before we started, each person will hear exactly what you need them to hear and then act accordingly. In Jesus' name, Amen. Now, before we move over into communion, is there anyone here who's never received Christ as Savior? Or maybe you did, and you've been kind of drifting in different directions, and you want to zero back in on a Christ-centered life. Or maybe you never received the Holy Ghost with the evidence of speaking in other tongues. If any of those three things apply to you, I just need you to stand where you are because we'll take care of them if they quick, fast, and in a hurry. Amen. You're standing for recommitment. Okay. Okay. Can you step up? No. Nothing happened. You're not in trouble. You want to be in good standing with God?
Yes.
Yes.
It's just. You do?
Yes.
You can hold mommy or daddy. It's okay. Or you can stand alone. You want to stay there? Okay.
Hey, buddy. All right.
It's all right. They're going to look at me.
Yep.
And I'm not going to look over at you. I'm going to look straight ahead. Is that okay? All right. But you'll say what I ask you to say? Will you?
Yes.
Okay. All right. You say, Father God, I thank you that I know Jesus died on the cross for me. And I have received him as my Savior. But I've also strayed away. I don't have to go into the details because I know you know. But I want you to know that I'm back home. I've come back into place just like the prodigal son. After thanking you for receiving me. And I vow to never leave again. That's it. The Bible says as you confess with your mouth and believe in your heart, it's done. You said those words with your mouth. Do you believe them? And it's done. Well, all I'm going to do is consecrate you just by laying on of hands, if that's okay. Walk in that which you've just confessed today. May I touch your shoulder? Walk in that which you've confessed today. May I touch your shoulder? Walk in that which you've confessed today. Amen. Well, give them a praise the Lord. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Thank you, Lord. Welcome to the world of the uncommon. We need a t-shirt that says, I am uncommon. We can even put UC on top, put UC. What does that mean, uncommon? You see, I'm uncommon. Doesn't it feel good? See, it's like I said before, it's like those bricks that were on your chest making it hard to breathe were just lifted off. See, there are times, and most of the congregation knows this, there are times that I'm up for hours. Because I'm preparing, and it's like something's missing. And this was one of those times. I fall asleep on the keyboard, and look, and I've written in tongues. And I said, okay, bedtime, get up early, finish. And God gave me some things this morning because he knew you, that he was sending you, you three here. And some things that I was not going to say, he had me say because he was fishing. He caught three big ones. Father, thank you.